we're coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can in the Situation Room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth from God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you're checking out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted to have you this morning in the Situation Room. We hope and pray that things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program for you today. Today is the day that we focus in on our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. And so go get your Sunday school book, go get your Bible, and study along with us this morning as we study our Sunday school lesson. This morning, our lesson is taken out of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 through 26. Galatians chapter 5 verses 16 through 26, and it reads like this, beginning with verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresy, envy, murders, drunkenness, reviling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are of Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another and envying one another. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you and do praise you for who you are, the God who hear and you still answer prayers. Lord, speak to our hearts now in a mighty way. Lead, guide, and direct us in all that we say and do, so that honor and glory can be ascribed to your holy and righteous name. This we ask in Jesus' name, and for his sake we do pray. Amen and amen. All right, our lesson this morning is entitled The Fruit of the Spirit. The Fruit of the Spirit. and of the fruit of freedom. I'm sorry, the fruit of freedom. Now, at the Echoes commentary, it's a little bit different. It says the spiritual fruit of freedom, the spiritual fruit of freedom, but we still is looking at the fruit of freedom, the fruit of freedom, which is really the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is the third lesson that we have had this quarter taken out of this book of Galatians. Remember, we started back over in Galatians, I believe, the third Sunday, which was the 15th. The 15th, May 15th, we looked at Galatians chapter 3. We looked at freedom and the law. And then last Sunday, we looked at freedom, love, and faith out of Galatians chapter 5, the first 15 verses. Now, so today, we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 26. And so I thank God today that we were able to basically study the whole fifth chapter of Galatians. And because we really need that today. We really need more teaching on the law and love and the spirit and the flesh. And that's what we're going to be looking at today. We're going to be looking at the spirit and the flesh. And so we see, first of all, we see a conflict. We see a conflict in verses 16 through 18. We see a conflict between the spirit and the flesh. Look at what Paul says in verse 16 again. He said, "This I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Now, even though this verse 16 comes right here in the middle of the chapter, to me, this is the summary statement. This is the an all-inclusive statement. This is the key to being victorious in your Christian life. He says, walk in the Spirit. And when he's saying walk in the Spirit, be controlled by the Spirit. In one sense, because when you're actually, technically, when you talk about being filled with the Spirit, it's when you're really talking about being controlled by the Spirit. But when you're saying walking by the Spirit, it's more or less telling you to be in tune with the Spirit. It uses a metaphor. It uses a metaphor of back in Paul's day, how disciples would follow their rabbi. They would follow their teacher. And they would walk in the step of their teacher. And so keep in mind, the rabbi in the Jewish religion, that was like the highest thing that you could be in Judaism. That was the highest profession that you could be, is to be a rabbi. And for the rabbi to look at you and say, come on and follow me. And you walked in the dust, as they say, of the rabbi. Man, that was a thing of honor. That was a thing of honor. That, as a matter of fact, that's why when Jesus chose his disciples, that was a thing of honor to be chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why those guys like Peter and James and John, they left their fishing business in order to follow Jesus. Because that was the rabbi. That was the rabbi. And to follow in the profession of a rabbi, oh man, I mean, that meant you went from being almost like a nobody to really being of somebody and then following the Messiah, my Lord, you talking about a great promotion. And but he's saying here for us to walk by the Spirit, to follow in the steps of the Spirit, follow the leadership of the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And he talks about verse 17, how the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and how these are contrary one to another. So you cannot do the things that you would. Now, when he's talking here about the flesh, he's not talking about your body. He's not talking about your physical body. And I want to make that plain, because some people have gotten off track because they look at the physical body as the flesh. No, the physical body is neutral. Your body is a vehicle. Yeah, so it can do right, it can do wrong. It's just like your car. Your car can go to the right, it can go to the left. It all depends on who's driving your car. And so when he's talking about the flesh here, he's talking about the old man. That's who Paul talks about over in Romans chapter 6 and 7. He talks about the old man. Well, the old you, your old nature is the flesh. When the Bible talks about the flesh, he's talking about the old man, the old you, the person that you was before you got saved. Well, that old you is still there. Yeah, even though the Holy Spirit has come into you and now you have a new you, there's also an old you that's still there. And so the old you is the flesh. And that's the problem, because he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. See, what's stopping you? Quit going around saying the devil made me do it. The devil. It wasn't the devil. It was the old you. 9 times out of 10, it's the old you. 9 times out of 10, it's the flesh. See, the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Yeah, it's only one devil. Yeah, and the devil can't be everywhere at the same time. Yes, I know he got demons, but even that, most of the time, it's us. And Paul is going to point that out later on in our lesson. But notice, he goes on and he lets us know where victory comes from. Victory don't come from the flesh, but it comes from the Spirit. Verse 18, he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. If you're led of the Spirit, led of the Spirit. See, the key to victory is follow the Spirit. That's what he says. Early on, he says, walk in the Spirit. So you're walking behind the Spirit, or you're walking with the Spirit. And then he tells you here in verse 18, if you are led, if you do what the Spirit tells you to do, then ye are not under the law. You're not under the law. You can make it if you will indeed obey the Spirit. Obey the Spirit. All right, so we see the conflict. We see the conflict between the flesh, the old you, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that's working on the new you. All right. Now, notice here, he's going to identify the works of the flesh. So we move now from the conflict to the works of the flesh. And I'm going to spend most of my time here today dealing with the works of the flesh, because the reason that the church is in the mess that it's in is because people are not walking by the Spirit, but we are walking by the flesh. We are walking by the flesh. And how do you know the flesh is at work? is, number one, he looks at sexual sins. Notice these sexual sins in verse number 19. See, he's going to break these sins up into three categories. The first category is going to be sexual sins in verse number 19. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifested, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You see four there. That's four there. Now let's break them down. What is adultery? Adultery is when a married person have sex with somebody else outside their marriage. That's what adultery is. Adultery is when a married person have sex with somebody else outside their marriage. That's not their mate. And so that's what adultery is. Then fornication is basically the same sin, but it's more or less among unmarried people. It's more or less unmarried people. It's unmarried people for the most part is having sex. Now, also in a broader sense, that word fornication it's an all-encompassing word for just about any kind of sexual sin. Yeah. But normally when you see it in a list like this, and you got adultery, then fornication, adultery more or less applies to married people. Fornication normally is to single people having sex without a license. All right. Then he says uncleanliness. Now, uncleanness here is, that's where you just got a dirty heart, you got a dirty mind, and basically it leads to unclean sex. Yeah, it leads to unclean sex. It's more or less perverted sex or strange sex. I went back and done a little research on this, particularly in the Gospels. The thing that I was discovered that a lot of times when you see this, it's sexual. I mean, unclean. It is this unclean kind of sex. You normally see unclean spirits. It's normally unclean spirits. For instance, when Jesus cast the demons out of this man over there in Mark chapter 5, verse 2, the Bible talks about this man living in the tombs, living in the graveyard, an unclean spirit, who had an unclean spirit. See, when you got this kind of mind, this dirty mind, an unclean mind, you know, people often even have sex with dead people and stuff. And, you know, I was wondering when I start thinking about this unclean, this man in the graveyard who was demon possessed and who had all these unclean spirits, was he down there having sex with these dead folks? So you are aware that people have sex even in the mortuary and stuff like that. You got some strange people that have sex even with dead folks. Then you have Jesus was casting out demons. Remember this Syrophoenician woman that Jesus called the dog? Remember, she came to Jesus because her daughter, the Bible says, had an unclean spirit. And, you know, Jesus cast the demons, that unclean spirit, out that lady's daughter. And then remember, in Mark chapter 6, Jesus gave his disciples authority to cast out unclean spirits, the class. And so that unclean spirits just keep showing up over and over and over and over. And when you see people start having weird kind of sex, a lot of times they done gave themselves over to an unclean spirit. But it starts with themselves, the works of the flesh. That old flesh is just dirty by itself. And you can go on a little bit further. He talks about lasciviousness. And now you think uncleanness is bad. Boy, it's getting worse with lasciviousness. This is shameless sex. This is a lot of time open sex and stuff. This is extravagant kind of sex. This is people pushing sex to the limit. I mean, this is weird old kind of sex, crazy sex. Think about Absalom, how he went on the rooftop and he had sex with 10 of David's concubines out there on the rooftop. Now you think about that. You think about that. I mean, this guy is having sex out there in the open. The people have sex today. You got nudist beaches and stuff out there, you know, in California and in Florida and what have you. Well, I don't know about Florida, but I know out in California they used to have nudist beaches where people walk around naked, and often you'll see folks having sex out there in those nudist beaches. And then that's lasciviousness, ladies and gentlemen. And then the gay pride parades and things like that. And you see in the gay pride parade how these two men's be kissing each other, and the two women's are kissing each other and licking all over each other like a dog lick on folks. And so you see crazy stuff going on. You see crazy stuff. That's lasciviousness. That's lasciviousness. Anytime you see crazy kind of sex, 9 times out of 10, it's either lasciviousness or it's either uncleanness. So you see, you got sexual sin, and then you got spiritual sins are idolatrous sins. In the next group, he talks about idolatry. And idolatry is where you put something else or somebody in the place of God. And that violates the first commandment. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You don't put nothing before the Lord. God comes first. God is first. And whenever something else is first in your life, then that has become an idol, and that's idolatry. And so that's what the first two commandments of the Ten Commandments was all about. But do you know, ladies and gentlemen, whenever Israel got off track, look at, most of the time, it was this sin right here, idolatry. They went, as the Bible says, horn after these other idols and stuff. And that's the problem here in America today. That's the problem in America. And that's why we got a weak church, is because we are horn after all of these other idol gods, houses, cars, land, clothes, people and stuff. Yeah, we are worshiping people today. We're putting our wives and our children ahead of God. And if our children got to go to a ball game, we willing to miss church and stuff. I ain't just talking about just miss, you know, one day out of church. We're willing to miss the whole season. In order for our children to be in a, some kind of activity at the school. And keep in mind today, these schools, they don't care nothing about the churches. I remember when I was growing up back in the 70s, that they didn't put nothing on Wednesday night. They They made sure that you got out of practice early so you can go on to your Wednesday night Bible study, or either they didn't put nothing on Sunday so that you can go to church. They wanted you to go to church on Sundays, but today they got practice on Sunday. I mean, they don't look at Sunday as being a holy day anymore. There's nothing sacred in their minds about Sunday. I'm reminded what D.L. Moody once said. D.L. Moody, when he saw baseball, Major League Baseball, had started playing on Sunday nights, particularly there in Chicago, the White Sox and the Cubs started playing on Sunday night. And D.L. Moody said that if we lose Sunday, we're going to lose the church. And that's what done happened today, ladies and gentlemen. We are losing the church behind sports and entertainment. Yeah, people have made sports, they have made entertainment gods today. Yeah, yeah. Now, notice what Jesus said over here in Luke's gospel. He fought against this thing of idolatry. But notice what he says. For the most part, it's people. In Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, Jesus says, "And there was a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now you think about it. Jesus had this big crowd of people following him. And when he looked at this crowd of people following him, he weeded out the crowd by letting them know, "If any man come to me and hate not his father." Now that word hate means to love less. In other words, your father can't come first. Your mother can't come first. Now watch this. He says, not even your wife. Your wife can't come first. Your children can't come first. Your brethren can't come first. Your sisters can't come first. He says, even your own life. You can't put your own life ahead of God. You know, that's why a lot of times when they ask people, when communism takes over, and they ask people, you know, all you have to do is spit on the cross and walk over the cross, trample on the cross, and you can go free. But some of these people, they won't trample on the cross. They won't even say they own life. Why is that? Because their life is not as great as the Lord's life. They put the Lord before themselves. And that's what the Lord wants. The Lord don't want you to try to save your life. Yeah. Because he gonna save you. And if you already saved, he done save you. All right. Oh, let me rush on because I'm getting behind here. But like I say, for the most part, I just want to cover these sexual sins here. Not sexual sin. The works of the flesh. He goes on and he talks even further about witchcraft. Oh yeah, we gotta say a little something today about witchcraft, because until we deal with the sins of idolatry and the sins of witchcraft that is running rampage today in the church, the church will never get right. That word witchcraft means, come from a Greek word, pharmakia, which we get our word pharmacy, which is a drug dispenser, where you go get your drugs at. And a lot of witchcraft is taking place today in the church. We see a case of that over in Acts chapter 8, where you saw Simon the sorcerer. He used drugs to put people under his spell. He used pharmakia. He used sorcery to put people under his spell. He was the witch doctor. He was the witch doctor. But don't always look, ladies and gentlemen, for the witch doctor. Because, see, the witch doctor, don't be looking for this person that's got horns on his head, you know, and then they got his face all painted up, you know, look like an African, you know, witch doctor. Don't be looking for that. The witch doctors today, ladies and gentlemen, is the drug houses and the alcohol liquor stores and stuff. Have you just seen all the liquor stores today? You know, it used to be even restaurants. They used to advertise spirits. They would advertise spirits. They would let you know, hey, we got some spirit here. Because, see, in alcohol, once you get alcohol, then you, it's a spirit that goes along with that alcohol. See, the number one drug that Satan is working through today in America, ladies and gentlemen, is alcohol. When I used to work down at the mission, 90 to 95% of the men down at the mission was either on drugs or alcohol. Yeah, it would be hard to find somebody down at the mission that don't use drugs or don't use alcohol, just about all of them down there. And people today, ladies and gentlemen, they are dropping out of church. You know why? Because of alcohol. Some people won't even come to church. You know why? Because they drink. And they love their alcohol. And they'll tell you. They'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to go down there to that church and be a hypocrite because I know I ain't right. I know I ain't right. Yeah. And so that's what's keeping a lot of people out of church, ladies and gentlemen, is they love their sin, that sin of alcoholism, being drunken. Then we're going to talk about that later on. But they love that more than they love Jesus. And that's why we got liquor stores. I mean, there's a demand. There's a demand for all that liquor. And so until we address, you know, when I was a little boy, they used to preach hard against alcoholism and drinking and stuff like that. When the last time you heard a sermon on about drinking, against drinking? You don't hardly hear that. And you sure won't hear on television or radio. Because it's a popular thing today in the church, because church people are drinking. Yeah, church people, it's almost like they can't have a party. They can't do anything. They can't go to a baseball game or can't go to a graduation. You know, the graduations used to be at churches. You know, large churches like, you know, Potter's House and what have you, Calvary Temple and what have you. They used to have baccalaureate services and stuff because they looked at that as something holy and something sacred. That's why at some graduations, they don't want you to make no noise when your loved one come across the stage and get the diploma, because it was looked upon as a sacred thing. It was a sacred thing. But today, they having them at the gyms and the stadiums, you know, like Globe Life Stadium and what have you, where people can bring their food and stuff, bring their drinks and stuff. Well, I don't know if they let you bring drinks, but you can buy drinks and stuff, because is no longer looked upon as something as sacred. I mean, alcohol is just taking over. And then you have in this witchcraft, you got the young people. They're dropping out of church. And they going and they buying these books, ladies and gentlemen, on witchcraft. You go to Barnes and Nobles and places like that. They probably got two or three shelves of books on witchcraft. I was listening to this lady on YouTube, and her daddy used to be a preacher. And she no longer go to church. It's black lady. She said she no longer go to church. She done dropped out of church because, you know, Jesus, she said, just really never done anything for. And so she have turned to witchcraft. And as a result, she's getting the results that she wants. She done got into this power and miracles. And, you know, it showed her how she had a lit altar, candles, incense, had her lit portions that she used to buy, magic portions and things like that. And then she had this lit book with formulas and stuff in it. And see, these people, they into power. It's a power thing. And there's they into miracles. But keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, it's just like when Moses went before Pharaoh and he threw down his stick and it came into a snake. Remember, the magicians came in there and they done the same thing. They threw down their stick and it turned into a snake. And so, yeah, you can see power, but where you getting your power from? That's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. They getting power from the demonic world. And so that's a sin that we're going to have to address. If we're going to get the church back on track, we're going to have to talk more about witchcraft, because a lot of our young people, particularly our young ladies in their 20s and in their 30s, ladies and gentlemen, they into witchcraft. That's why you don't see them in the church. They into something else. And then you got social sins. You can see all of these social sins like hatred and violence. And variance is a feeling of hostility where you just like to argue with folks. And then emulation is a feeling of jealousy over somebody else's success. And wrath is kind of self-explanatory. That's outbursts of anger. Strife is self-seeking. Sedition is where you scribe to the point of causing division in the church. And heresy is false teaching. Envy is where, you know, you wanting what others got, and to the point of carrying out grudges. And then murders, you know, that's taking of life, drunkenness, intoxication on alcohol. And then reveling is wild partying, what have you. And so you see, he deals with all of that. But the way to overcome that is what Paul says in Galatians 5:16. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And it's the Spirit that produces the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we won't have time to look at that today about the fruit of the Spirit. But you can see those nine manifold fruit of the Spirit. It's nine of them there. And so, and actually it's an outgrowth of the love of God. And so that's it, ladies and gentlemen. If you walk by the Spirit, you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right, that's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long, because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.